Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
One of these days, I'm going to make you sing the open. I'm going to make you do it.
No, really. You don't need to. Welcome to Lost in the Static. I'm Scott.
I'm Josh.
As always, it's Josh. Now, first, let's talk about something that never...
First, let's...
Chill out.
Okay.
Let's talk about something that never goes out of style. Self-pleasure.
Well, technically, it's always been in style, so you're not wrong.
That's right.
But it's not necessarily self-pleasure, because at adamandeve.com, you can get something for other people. You can get something to use as a couple. All you have to do is use the promo code STATIC, and you would get 3 free DVDs, a free mystery gift, ooh, mysterious, free U.S. shipping, and 50% off of a single item for yourself or somebody else. So it's not just self-pleasure. You're thinking too narrowly.
Pleasure.
Yes, sexual pleasure.
Pleasure. Pleasure never goes out of style.
Coming in or on someone, yes. What?
Nothing.
That look you gave me said you wanted to say something.
No, that's okay.
Especially given the topic we're awkwardly going to seg into.
Exactly. Let's talk about young children now. and we're going to talk about school trends. Well, I wanted to kind of relive my elementary school days because...
Is that D-A-Y-S or D-A-Z-E?
D-A-Y-S.
Mine's the other.
Yeah, yours is sad.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, because I was going through all the cool stuff I did in school, and you were like, I don't remember any of that at all.
I'm sorry. I was the kid in the back of the class with his face buried in a William Gibson novel or whatever the X-Men were up to that week.
Uh-huh.
I didn't care for all this other crap.
Yep.
I mean, I could see these girls that I'm going to masturbate to later. I don't need to actually interact with them and have them reject me.
Little insight there into Josh's psyche.
What? What?
Nothing.
Just continue.
So, anyway, when I think of school, you know, the first thing that comes to my brain, of course, is high school, but we're going to go back a little bit further. College, high school, I'm talking primary school. Not talking kindergarten, where you had the timeless toys of the rings that you put on the little plastic thing to build the pyramid, or the little push mower popping thing. But
it's supposed to be a vacuum, I think. It's not a mower.
No. It was just, well, you know, they had the lawnmower version.
I think it was supposed
version.
To be a vacuum, but
they
okay.
They had the lawnmower version, and then they had the one that was just the generic, had the little balls in it, and the thing in the middle would pop. And
I don't remember the lawnmower one. I just remember everyone always calling it a lawnmower, and I was like, it's supposed to be a vacuum cleaner. Shut up.
I think it was supposed to be a toy that allowed you to use your imagination to be whatever you wanted it to be.
Okay.
How about that?
Fine, fair enough. Be all analytical and shit.
Yay, I rock. So anyway, when I think of primary school, and for me that was grades 1 through 6, I think they've limited it now to grades 1 through 5 or something like that.
Why do you call it primary school? Because we always had, it was grade school was 1 through 5, and then middle school was 6 through 9, and then high school, you know.
No, you had...
Or 6 through 8, sorry. 6, 7, and 8 was middle school.
You had kindergarten.
Right.
And then you had primary school or elementary school.
Grade school is what we always called. Yeah, 1 through 5.
For us, it was primary or elementary.
Okay.
And then that was grades 1 through 6. And then you had...
It's strange that it was 1 through 6, because here, 1 through 5.
Yeah.
In America. So
In Indiana was weird. I've noticed that was a strange thing about Indiana. They would keep you in... primary grade school
for an extra year
through sixth grade, and then you had junior high, which was 7th and 8th,
which is what we called middle school,
right? And then you had high school, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th,
right? I don't know. It's just, yeah, your numbering's off from the way I grew up with it.
And like I said, that's an Indiana thing. And I think it even depended on the school district, because I remember some school districts, it was just 1 through 5. And I think Storer Middle School, or store junior high did 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. But I don't know. Burris was, I went to a laboratory school. It was weird.
Okay.
Because it was 1 through 6 and then 7, 8 and then 9 through 12. But
is it still the same way there? Or have they changed it by 2013, 2014?
At Burris, I think it's still 1 through 6.
Okay, I don't know. That just sounds wrong to me.
I know.
I don't know. It's
freaking. But there's going to be so much in this episode that sounds wrong to you, because
like in every
episode. you had your nose buried in a book.
Yeah, I know. Stupid. I mentioned wanting to read William Gibson or something, right?
Yeah. Well, to most grade schoolers or primary kids, yeah, that was weird. Because we were busy
interacting in a good way.
We were busy interacting with one another, building social skills, and learning to not piss people off on Facebook.
No, we're going Facebook back to that,
come up. But nonetheless,
you know what Facebook was then? Getting hit in the face with a book.
No, it was burn books.
That's what you don't even know. We're going back to the 1950s.
No, not book burnings.
You said burn books.
So burn books. Burn books. It was especially popular with the girls, but they would take this notebook and they would write out questions, and on the first page you would write your name and then a number. And so like if my wife Dawn chose number 7, she would then go through all the pages of the burn book and answer question number 7. But the deal is you give it to all the people that you don't like first. And they fill out all the answers, and then you have all these answers to the questions you're going to ask them, and that's just ammunition to make fun of them, because girls are evil.
That sounds stupid and, frankly, pointless. You know what? Maybe you had fun doing that.
I didn't. That was a girl thing.
Like I said, I got more out of reading a science fiction novel than I would have out of that pointless crap.
Okay, did you ever do any of the little fortune teller things?
At a carnival once, I
no, gave not, a not quarter. Not that kind of fortune teller. The little folded paper where you'd be like 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you pick a color, B-L-U-E.
I was the weird kid no one wanted to interact with.
What is this was part?
I mean, I remember once in middle school when...
Junior high.
Middle school. The only time one of the girls I used to masturbate to actually came up and talked to me was that she's like, "You're a weirdo. I need your help with this question." It was a trivia question about James T. Kirk's middle name, what the T stood for. She's just like, "You're a nerd. You'll know this."
Thaddeus.
Tiberius. But
that was the first planet he went to.
Shut up. But I did not look like a typical nerd. Long hair, Iron Maiden t-shirt, ripped jeans, fuck you attitude. Does that sound like it? And I didn't even have glasses yet at this point.
Sounds like you haven't grown since that time at all. You have not matured one single iota.
I have a beard now, so shut up. Does that sound like what a typical nerd was in that era?
Yes.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, metal nerds. Because they were different kinds of nerds. You had your classic science nerd, which...
With the taped-up glasses.
Yeah, the taped-up glasses, and he knew everything. He was your book nerd.
The best friend whose name escapes me right now from Wonder Years.
Yeah.
Stevie. Stevie was the nerd in Malcolm in the Middle.
Same thing.
Not really, but okay, continue.
But nonetheless, you had your book nerd, and then you had your metal nerd, and that was the antisocial nerd that only really talked to other metalheads.
But I was also into the other nerd category of, I played Dungeons and Dragons, and I read comic books, and played video games, and I was into science fiction, and, you know, I crossed over into the other, because usually the metal nerds were right on the cusp of the potheads as well, of the burnouts, of the, I don't want to do anything with my life, man. It's all nihilistic, dude.
Yeah, pretty
kind of shit. And no, I'd rather read a book than go get high.
Well, then sit back and I will do this episode. Let's continue talking about girl trends, because I remember them. I interacted with girls. I actually had dates and fun and stuff.
Oh, I didn't say I didn't interact with girls, just not girls that you wouldn't get certain things from.
So the other thing that was really popular with girls, at least in the U.S., was Lisa Frank.
Which, until you told me about it right before the show, I had no idea what this was. No. I thought it was a person.
I mean, like
a celebrity or like a media personality or something where I'd go, oh, I saw her on Top of the Pops or something.
Well, Lisa Frank is an artist, and she's actually starting to make a comeback these days, but she's well known for her. She has kind of an airbrushed style and uses these, I mean, just colors, all of the colors that you can imagine.
If I can boil it down, it's very pink. Girly.
It's extremely girly.
And I mean stereotypically girly.
Yes.
And when you showed me like a Google image search thing of it, I said, oh, I have seen that. Not in school. I'm like, that's the kind of shit the pharmacy always stocked for when your mom had to go get the pills when you had the really bad flu.
But, you know, she also had Trapper Keepers with Lisa Frank on them, and folders with Lisa Frank, and notebooks with Lisa Frank, and rulers and pencils and everything kids would need. And if you had something that didn't have Lisa Frank on it, you could get Lisa Frank stickers. And that was one of the weird crossover fads that I remember from elementary school and trends was stickers. Everybody, boys, girls, both of them. And yeah, you had boy stickers and you had girl stickers.
I remember, but the only ones of those, I never bought any of those. I do remember they used to give them away in cereals. Now, this will date to when this is from. This is from 1987 by what I'm about to say. I remember one of the Kellogg's had Star Trek The Next Generation stickers. Geordi was still in the red uniform. That's how I remember it was from 87, because he was only in the red uniform in the first season.
Right.
So I remember having Star Trek Worf had a red uniform too.
Right.
All the Star Trek The Next Generation stickers from the serial. Otherwise, I was not into the stickers thing unless they were basically given to me.
But we had stickers for everything of every art style you can possibly imagine. Plus, we even, now I know you remember these, the scratch and sniff stickers.
I do remember those. Again, not into them, but I remember. Did they ever go as burnout-ish as Ralph Steadman stickers? Because I would have been into Ralph Steadman shit.
What?
Ralph Steadman? Google image search Ralph Steadman, okay, people. Hang on. And Ralph Steadman is the artist who is known for all of the Hunter S. Thompson art. He's very potheadish, and he's very... Yeah, that's Ralph Steadman, Scott. I would have bought Ralph Steadman stickers if they had that shit.
You know, I think they did.
Because that shit, seriously, that's the kind of shit I was into. I was that weird of a kid. And keep in mind, I'm straight edge, so I wasn't even high and I'm into this stuff.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, if they had Ralph Steadman stickers, okay, then I would have bought those.
Okay, but I mean, that's the thing. They had stickers for everything. Everything. Under the sun, and you had the special stickers like scratch and sniff, and then you had the poofy stickers.
My wife has some of those. She's got like some of those old albums and stuff that she collected back then. Some of the scratch and sniffs, we're going on 30 years later. They still have odor in them.
Oh yeah,
that just baffles my mind. you can't have gum that retains its flavor for more than 4 seconds,
right?
But you can have scratch and sniff stickers that will stink for 30 fucking years.
Oh yeah, and you had the gross scratch and sniff, like the skunk and feet and blah.
Feet, really? Yeah, they had feet.
They had feet.
Did they go so far as fart and puke?
Yes, they had farts. I don't know if they had puke. I know they had cat pee.
Oh Jesus, really?
Yep. And that was a particularly bad one.
Well, do you remember, and I'm not really changing the subject, the He-Man figure Stinkor?
Yes, I remember Stinkor.
Somebody bought one still in the package, an original. He opened it. He said it was almost like fumigating the house. Because the packaging, because even loose, those things still have the smell, because it was actually melted into the plastic.
Right.
It wasn't a coating.
Right.
It was actually, you know, injection molded into the pieces, and the packaging had kept it in like an air, you know, relatively airtight seal. He opened it. He's like, it was like a bug bomb. Oh my God, this is the most rank shit ever.
Yeah.
So 30 years later, stink ore can still fumigate your house.
There you go. And yeah, well, even just beyond, I mean, this was just stuff that we traded at school. So, of course, you had your He-Man and stuff like that, and you traded with your friends that kind of stuff at home, or you didn't, and you just played together or whatever. But this, I'm specifically talking about at school. But back on the stickers, you remember the puffy stickers?
I remember seeing them around, yes.
They were big, yes. Puffy stickers, holograms. Holograms were huge.
I do remember those specifically because of the toy line Visionaries.
Yes.
Remember they had the holograms on the chest and on the staffs?
Right.
And I remember wrecking a couple of those, trying to peel the hologram off to move them, and then figured out, kind of wrecks them when you do that.
Yeah.
Shit. Oh, well.
Well, there were stickers like that.
That was an 80s thing, too. We'll be talking about that more next week with just general fads, but holograms were not just with stickers. Remember in the 83, 84... That was on toys, on books,
affordable
on albums. Holograms were everywhere, man.
Affordable holography was new. So, yeah, they stuck it on everything.
And that, unfortunately, unlike the Stinkor stuff, that doesn't age too well because those things bleached out real quick from sunlight. So a lot of those hologram things, if they were not stored properly, are shit today. They don't work right.
I don't know. Dawn still has some hologram stickers.
Well, then she probably stored them properly. She
probably stuck them in a album or something.
Well, it's usually sunlight that does it. It's a sunlight that wrecks the hologram after a while. So I think like if you had it displayed in the store window or whatnot, that's what would wreck it.
That's true. Okay. Did you ever get into any trading cards? Because they had Star yes. Trek cards. They had...
No, the one I remember, the title, Fright Something, Fright Packs, or it was horror movie cards. It had, like, you know, scenes from Predator and Nightmare on Elm Street 3 and Fright Night 2 and
okay,
stuff
so not,
like that.
Okay, so not one particular
no, line. It was horror movies in general, Fright Packs, something like okay. that. I do remember those. The one I remember the most was, let's go back a little bit. I didn't have any of these, but do you remember the Mars Attacks cards?
Yes.
Again, I'm not changing the subject.
I know.
Okay, the Mars Attacks cards, for those that don't remember, were 60s? Was it, Scott? Was Mars Attacks originally 60s?
Yeah, late 50s, early 60s. I think it bridged the two decades.
I want to say early 60s, yeah. But I'm not 100% on that. But what it was is a series of trading cards of Mars attacking Earth, and they were very graphic.
Ack, 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 ack.
Yes, yes, very much acky. And they were very graphic, and they told a sequential story. The back of the card had a sequential story, so you wanted to collect them all. Because it was like a comic book in trading card
form,
kind of.
Buying a single panel of a comic book. And you got kind of some neat art on one side and then the single panel.
And then
a
paragraph on the back, right. So you wanted to buy them all. And they were a big hit. Well, those were put out by Topps. Now, Topps re-released those in the early 90s. But before that, they tried another one that didn't take off nearly as much. It was called Dinosaurs Attack.
I don't remember those at all.
Dinosaurs Attack was the same format. It was, you know, the picture, the very graphic, and it told the story on the back. It was like 88, I want to say, that Dinosaurs Attack was, and they were trying to recapture the feel. I mean, even the artwork is, they got the same artist from Mars Attack, so the art is not just similar, it's the same style.
I was going to say the color palette is definitely similar to Mars Attacks. It's that otherworldly, lots of greens and
it's
reds
very exploitative
and some
as
purples.
Well.
Yeah,
but I remember.
And there's one I'm looking at right there with the. It's got a pickup truck, and it's that pickup truck is being chased by a Tyrannosaur. That is right out of Jurassic Park.
This is 88.
Prior to Jurassic Park.
Yeah, this is 88.
That is just. it kind of makes you go, I wonder if
this line, I never had a complete, I have a complete set now as an adult, but I never did as a kid. Especially with the stickers, because you know they were always stingy with stickers on those. You know, you'd always get a sticker at random.
Oh yes.
But this line did not hit right. It was the cards were just as good as Mars Attacks, and you can find these things for you can buy a complete set of like the 80 cards for $5. Whereas a complete set of Mars Attacks, even the re-releases are $60-$70. For whatever reason, Dinosaurs Attack died hard. But I did buy some of these at the time. So that, and we'll talk about it more next week, but yeah, I bought Garbage Pail Kids.
So you were really into something that was a complete failure.
It's like I'm destined to be a hipster, right? Isn't it?
Well,
but I didn't know it was a failure at the time.
That, and it just speaks so much for the rest of your life. But the marriage, child, it's...
radio show hosting
you had Dinosaurs Attack, but I mean you had a bunch of these things. Not only was Dinosaurs Attack trying its way, but yeah, we had Garbage Pail Kids, where every card was a sticker, because you had the sticker on the one side and then on the back you had, it depends on the series, but I think the initial series you had kind of weird facts about the kid on the other side. And there was this time, and I don't think it's gone away. I think it has to do with the age group. I don't know if you ever got into it, but there was a time when gross was huge.
Oh yeah. I mean, okay. This is what I've always said. I'm not going to turn this into a radio drum. This is what I've always said about movies. Gross out movies have their place from about age 12 to 15. That's the audience for a gross-out movie. That's why I don't understand when they make gross-out movies for adults. Are they trying to speak to your the inner 12 to 15-year-old, or do they just not realize that you only find, you know, puking for 3 straight minutes on somebody funny when you're 13?
And see, for me, it was actually earlier. I mean, I'm talking age 8 to age 12 was when gross-out humor was big. At least when I was growing up.
Because you're still doing it today. Whenever we do Trailer Park, every kid's movie, every single kid's movie has a goddamn poopy joke in it. Poopy is still funny to kids, apparently.
Yeah, I'm trying to... What was that? Was it a Disney dinosaur movie? Or
DreamWorks, maybe?
I don't know.
Yeah, that dinosaur animated one.
Yeah.
The trailer had 3 poopy jokes in it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? Poopy jokes are still funny?
Well, I think to kids that age, yes. To the 8 to 12-year-olds, yes. Because I remember it being huge. Because not only did we have Garbage Pail Kids, which actually raised a lot of hackles because they were so disgusting.
Those were controversial. They were controversial as hell.
My mother, thank God, just went, you know, these are just cards and blah, yeah, okay, I'll buy you more.
My dad was a, you know, drunk and he didn't give a shit.
But we had those. We had, I forget what they were called, but they were balls that you could play with that were in the shape of like, there was one in the shape of an eye. Mad balls. You had mad balls that you could play with.
There was, I think, a grosser out one too. Maybe it was like a sideline of mad balls. But were ones like, instead of just the ball, when you squeezed them, like the goo would come out the eye. And you know, like those things you see at Halloween.
Yeah,
where you squeeze it and it gets icky. But they were doing that. I don't know if it was Mad Balls or like a knockoff that was doing that. But I do remember some of those where you squeezed them. And there were squirters too.
Oh, yeah.
You squeeze them, you could squirt somebody with them or play with them in the tub or something.
I remember those. I had Mad Balls. Honestly, when it comes to Mad Balls, and this is the first series right here, my favorite was always the one that just looked like an eyeball.
Did you know that that had an aborted TV series? That
really?
Had a cartoon that lasted like 6 episodes maybe?
No, I don't remember that at all.
Mad Balls had a cartoon. Hell, Garbage Pail Kids had a cartoon. Not that we ever saw it.
Right.
It was banned right before it aired. CBS never aired it in America. The first time us Americans have seen it outside of bootlegs was when they released it on DVD last year.
I'll have to.
Otherwise, Garbage Pail Kids was 6 episodes. They considered it too gross for Saturday mornings, and it only aired in the UK.
But, I mean, on top of that, when it comes to gross toys, you also had the mad scientist laboratory where you could make all the gummy things.
The creep lab or something like that. Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, but, like gummy spiders.
Yeah, I never had one of those. Yeah,
there was like a thing where you could make brains that you could eat with a little spoon or something. I remember that. I never had one of those either, but I do remember the commercials were out during every fucking cartoon.
Exactly. Let's see. So there was at least for the boys, there was the gross thing. And then for girls, we had Jem. She was outrageous.
Truly outrageous. Not so much Jem. You also, I remember Barbie being everywhere.
Well, Barbie has been everywhere since the 60s.
Well, and then by the time they hit, all the girls I was trying to get in bed were into this thing I didn't understand at the time, NKYOTB or something, and I was like, the fuck is that? Oh, the New Kids, never mind.
Yes, boy bands. Actually, I'm sure that boy bands have been around since the 50s. I mean, they started with the doo-wop. You had the good-looking guys in the suits. And then, for some reason, though, in the 70s, you had the family boy band kind of, the family band pop up with the Partridge and the Bradys and the Osbournes
and
such.
Didn't the Boones do a family thing for a while that didn't really take off? But
yeah, I think the Boones did a thing for a little while. But then, yeah, in the 80s, you had the boy bands, and they had five members, you know, the cute one, the bad one, the shy one, blah, blah, blah.
The girl one.
Yeah, the girly one.
It was usually only one girl, so it was always the girl one.
And Joey Fatone. But
that was the 90s, though, wasn't it?
No,
Joey Fatone?
Yeah, early 90s, but I guess 90s was when they hit. But yeah, you had the boy band rise up and, thank God, fall away for the most part. But you know, you had that stuff. I'm guessing you never had a single poster in your locker.
I had a lot of posters in my locker, and I got in trouble for a couple of them. Have you ever heard of a comic book called From the Darkness?
Yes.
It was by Cry for Dawn Productions, and the cover of the first issue was a vampire chick with huge tits, naked, with blood running down from a guy she had just killed.
There you go.
I had that cover, and yeah. I had the scene from, I pulled it from like a Gorzone or a Fangoria, the scene from Dawn of the Dead where the crazy racist cop shoots the black guy in the face and his whole head explodes. I had that, and I got in a lot of trouble because everyone was grossed out.
I got in trouble for having Alyssa Milano in my locker. Alyssa Milano, kind of those weird years between
Who's the Boss?
Between Who's the Boss and Buffy. Or wait, was it Buffy that
she
was on?
She wasn't on Buffy.
Okay, who
are
I thinking?
You thinking of Alicia Dushku from
no,
Buffy?
No. I know it was Alyssa Milano. Oh, Craft. The Craft. Not The Craft. The
Charmed?
Charmed. Thank you. God.
I was like, Girl Witch Thing!
The TV version of The Craft with more episodes and stupidity.
That's essentially what it was.
That weird transitionary where she decided to go all bad cute girl. I had a poster of her up in my locker. After I got in trouble for that and that got torn out, I had a Lamborghini Countach on one side, and then you could flip it over and I'd have Melissa Milano on the other side.
And see, I was told by the school I had to take those down, and I refused to. So then I went to class, and I came back, and they were missing. So I confronted the principal. We didn't have anything to do with it. We don't know what's going on. You lying sacks of shit. So I went and bought another copy of that magazine and put it back up, and it vanished again. So I'm like, you know what? You're fucking censoring me, you sons of bitches. Yes, I was like this even in high school, Scott.
No, it doesn't surprise me that you were just like this in high school, and it really doesn't surprise me that you haven't grown since either. But, you know, and then on the front of the locker, do you remember, and these were really, really big when I was in middle school, kind of end of primary school, beginning of junior high, was locker answering machines?
You lost me. Oh, I do remember one other thing I had in my locker. I had a Bebop action figure from the TMNT with a noose around his neck that I had hung from the coat rack that people didn't find very funny either.
See, the locker answering machines We're
not nothing, huh? Just move on.
Just moving on. Well, you know, telephone. We obviously still had telephone answering machines at home.
Cassette in that era,
and they were either cassette or they, you know, later on they were just beginning with the digital. Well, this was a digital recorder, more or less, that was very, very. You could only record maybe a minute and a half total, 2 minutes, maybe five in later years. But you had the big bulky battery holding part that would go on the back of your locker, and then it would hook over the top, and hanging down would be a button and a microphone. So somebody could come up to your locker, press the button, and leave you a message. And then you would come back and you would see, oh, I have messages, and you would play back the recordings. These were huge at my school. I don't know why. Let's see here. What other
more locker? Stupid, pointless crap.
Let's see here. Every locker had a whiteboard on it. And
nope.
We also had, the cheerleaders and stuff would go out and decorate the athletes' lockers if we had a big game coming up or something like that. So
did you know what I like to do to people's lockers? I'd go by and bang on each one to knock all their magnets down because I was a jerk like that.
This really is the Josh has not grown and it is a huge jerk show.
And see, nobody could do that to me because I taped my stuff up. So I didn't use magnets. I would just walk down the hall and hit each locker, and then you'd hear crash, 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 and I'm like,
We used magnets or poster putty.
I think if I hit it hard enough, poster putty might still let go too. But yeah, I'm sorry. I would have rather just sat there reading a book. I used to literally, for lunch, I would just sit with my locker open with some music playing, one of those little speaker things you could buy for a Walkman, and I would sit and read a book and listen to something.
That's fine, but you don't have to be a dick to other people.
Why? These people made my life hell. I hate these people. I hate them now, let alone then.
So what about recess?
I pretty much just sat and read a book. You know, you're trying to make me reading all the time sound like a bad thing.
No, it's not. I'm glad you're reading all the time. It's very educational. It's a shame you didn't interact with humans, and I'm starting to understand why you are the way you are.
I did interact with humans. I had my group of friends and, my D&D group and all that. It's just I didn't want to interact with 96% of the society because these people were fucking assholes. And I don't want to know you.
It's just a nice little insight into your life, that's all. But nonetheless, out on the playground, you have the standby games that were huge at the time. And you may remember people playing this off in the distance, but Foursquare. Did you ever play Foursquare?
No.
Are you familiar with what Foursquare is?
Vaguely.
There are four squares on the ground.
Makes sense, given the title.
Right. And as you play, you start out in the D square. And as you score and knock people out, you move up. So if the D square knocks out the B square, then the C moves up.
So is this like American Gladiators knocking people out?
Kind of, sort of, but it's done with a rubber ball and rules about bouncing the rubber ball between people.
Again, it sounds like I used my time better to read classic science fiction novels.
You keep telling yourself that. But nonetheless, you had all kinds of rules, and it got very competitive. And I remember lining up to play Foursquare. The girls would do their hopscotch thing.
I'd only care if I could see up their skirt.
This really is... just
what
a huge psychological insight into you. But nonetheless, and then we had tetherball. Tetherball was fun. You've never touched a tetherball.
It's a ball on a string.
Yes, it's a ball on a string.
What the fun is?
You have to wrap the ball around the pole, and you're playing against somebody else.
I've seen Atari video games that have a deeper plot than that.
I don't think deep plot was what Tetherball was going for. It was let's make kids get up and do things.
Dead air.
I know. I don't know where to go with you because it's like, hey, remember all this cool stuff from my childhood? No.
You were playing Tetherball. I was reading Neuromancer.
I was reading Neuromancer too, but I would do it at home.
I would read at home too.
Yes.
Funny how, like I said, you're trying to twist me wanting to expand my mind and read all the classics, or at that time, new classics, into something bad because I didn't want to be around people I can't stand and who, frankly, irritated the hell out of me with their very being.
See, and that amazes me. Answers so many questions that I had, but no longer have. Thanks. But moving on. Let's see here. What else? Did you ever pass notes in class?
Nope.
Ever once?
No.
No.
I'm not kidding. No.
Okay.
I was sitting at the back of the class reading a comic book normally. Usually not even paying attention to the teacher, let alone what the other students were doing. What I was doing was far more interesting than the blah, blah, blah up at the chalkboard.
Yeah. You still feel that way.
I do.
Even when it's not true.
50-50 on that.
Yeah. Okay. So I thought I had a full episode here.
I don't know this stuff. I told you that before the show. I don't know this stuff. I'm not going to lie and make up, yes, I did this when I didn't.
No, I'm not.
No, I never, not asking I never you passed to. Notes. I never passed notes. I'm okay. Sorry.
Did you interact with people at school at all?
Well, yeah, I kind of was forced to.
What'd you do? Did you have any traditions at all that you took part in?
Traditions?
Anything Elaborate. That you remember fondly from these years?
I remember, and I don't know if this should be a good thing or not. No. I don't know if this should be a good thing or not, but I remember in my freshman year of high school, a guy that's been my friend for about 30 years now, he was getting picked on all the time. And he and I didn't really hang out at that point. And the guidance counselor called me into his office one day and said that he saw when Jamie started hanging out with me, not only did Jamie's confidence level go up, but they stopped picking on him. And some of the other kids said, because they were scared of me. And you know me, I'm not a violent man. I don't threaten people overtly. That I remember positively, that I guess I exuded an aura of don't fuck with him or his friends, and it's not even what I tried to do. I just tried to live my life and let these people destroy their own.
I will give you that one. I will give you that one. That one's kind of cool. And that's actually something that they don't teach in school anymore. I'm going to shift gears, and I'm going to talk about the elementary school of today. And that's one thing that they don't teach, is how to deal with bullies.
Well, I think, you know, not to get too social, I think we have actually, in our society, we've made bullying, this is not necessarily a bad thing either, we've made bullying such a shameable offense that the school and the administration believes it's their job, which it should have always been technically, to police this and stop it. To the point where anything is bullying, even just a general disagreement between students now. I see news stories that one is being a bully. And it's like, no. I mean, you know, like you and I, we've been disagreeing. According to the rules of a modern day school, one of us, depending on who would be the aggressor in the situation, would be bullying the other. I think we've taken it to a ridiculous extreme, honestly, in a way. This is going to come out wrong. There's no way I can say it, but sometimes kids need to fucking punch one another to set boundaries. They really do.
Okay, let me explain that, because this is one where we actually agree, and this is.
You can't always it's run weird. To the administration. Sometimes a kid needs a fucking broken jaw.
And I don't know if I would go that far, but I do think that one of the valuable things that we don't allow kids to do anymore is, and this was huge back in my day, you know, you would have the playground fight of come recess, I'm going to kick your ass, or we're going to fight here, and you would have the students gather and watch, and sometimes the teachers gather and watch. And it's these kids are having a disagreement. They're not getting along. They need to work it out amongst themselves and learn how to do so. And the teachers would step in
when it got too far.
When it got too far, but you know, pink bellies and Indian burns are one thing. Beatings and
a broken phalange is different.
Yeah, is completely different.
And yes, so, I said phalange.
Well done, But yeah, that's one thing that I've noticed has changed too, is any disagreement that a lot of kids have, they're sent to the adults, and the adults help them sort it out. It seems
you're not being
like,
taught to stand up for yourself anymore.
Well, you're not being taught to stand up for yourself, and even more than that, even if you and I were in elementary school together and we were friends, if we were to have an argument or a disagreement, we would go to the teacher and have the teacher solve it, as opposed to working it out amongst ourselves as friends. No, I want the He-Man for this, and you can have the Matchbox toys. And you would say, no, I want the He-Man. And instead of having us work that out, the adult would come over and go, here's a Furby.
Okay, that's a strange place to have taken that, but okay.
Right, but that's the way it works. And I don't... That's a bad trend that I've seen.
Sorry, that's really bugging me.
Changing. What I have?
You had a fuzzy something? Yeah, you had a fuzzy thing hanging off your sock, and he's got his leg crossed, so it's sticking up at me, and it's just been bothering me this whole episode.
You just reached down and grabbed my foot. I was like, okay.
I'm like, just fucking goddamn it, Scott. Take that damn thing off your foot.
You know what I hate is when people take the toes of their feet.
All right, we're not talking about that. But, I mean, school has changed so much, not even in just the bullying thing, but let's stick with this for just a moment longer. You've got like, and I mean, Jillian and I have talked about it on What the Fuck all the time. There's the cyber bullying, which I think is a ridiculous term, but you know, the girls will harass another girl on Facebook or whatnot endlessly,
which they used to do with a burn book.
Every time you see one of these stories, how does it end? Mom gets involved. And it's like, hey, how about you stand up for your fucking self and show these stupid cunts who are going to be pumping gas for you and being your waitress in 10 years, how about you fucking learn something, better yourself, and not let them get to you?
Sometimes it's not that easy. I mean, seriously, it's like walking up to somebody who's depressed and going, just fucking cheer up already. It's not always that easy. I think you have a point, and I think that there is a point, you know, where you do have to learn to defend yourself. I agree with you there 100%.
Because I never once, when dealing with a bully, went to the authorities. By the authorities, I mean, you know, a teacher or something like that.
I did once.
Sometimes I wound up with the broken nose. Sometimes I wound up losing, but I'm being half satirical with what I'm about to say, okay? But even if I'm getting my ass kicked, I threw out several barbs at him that no doubt did great damage to his self-esteem in front of all his friends. So in the end, I still feel like I won the fight. Because when his friends are laughing at him as he's beating me up, I win. I might be the one with the broken cheekbone, but I still won the fight.
See, and I just had two brothers who used to... I learned to punch really hard and aim for balls.
The best one that I got, and I did steal this from a movie. I don't remember what movie, but I did steal this from a movie, but it got a beautiful reaction, Scott. The guy called me a piece of shit, and he said, you know what we do to pieces of shit around here? I said, judging by your breath, I'd say you eat it. Yes, he punched me in the mouth, but I feel I won that fight because his friends, years later, were still giving him shit over that. I definitely won that fight, even though I was the one with the nosebleed at the end.
You know, it's funny, but we had We had very few black students in my high school. Just it's the way it worked out. I don't know why, but very few black students. And they kind of traveled together and picked on people in their own way. And they would often go racial. And I remember I once in school used the word nigger in a defamatory way. And what was and they all, you know, oh, and we're gonna kick your ass and blah blah blah.
Is this 80s or 90s?
This is this would have been late 80s.
Because it depends on what era you're talking
late 80s
about.
Or it would have been right during that.
So this is right before
crossover.
The gangsta when nigger became a.
Well, no, that happened in 88. So
okay,
but you know, and they had their kind of reaction, and so they challenged me to the fight, et cetera, et cetera. And I went out, and I, you know, it's to use a line from Ron White. I'm not sure how many of them it would take to kick my ass, but I knew how many they were going to use, and it was enough. And it was funny, but I actually had one guy who respected what I said. He was like, "Look, you're going to get your ass kicked, but it took balls to use that word against one of ours." And to tell you the truth, the guy who I directed it toward kind of deserved it. And he goes, I'll tell you what. If you can make us laugh and insult us and not use the N-word, we'll walk away from this. Luckily.
Did you go Steve Martin and Roxanne?
No. But luckily, I had them rolling on the floor. And in some cases, not even realizing that I had insulted them. And the best one that I used against the one that I used the initial N-word against was, I believe it was Black Honky. Because I went, I can't say that, you Black Honky. And the others just broke up laughing and walked away. And that, you know, the skills of using humor to diffuse a violent situation, those aren't taught in school anymore. You're not allowed to.
No, because now everything is a terroristic threat.
Even a joke. Now, I will admit there are jokes out there that go too far too soon.
Like my Facebook
those
joke.
I can understand. Like your Facebook page.
Oh, just my page in general, huh?
Yeah, your page in general. Not even just the one post, but the whole damn page. You know, there are those that go too far too soon, but at the same time, you know, I remember that, you know, how did Krista McCullough...
How did you know she had clean hair? They found her head and shoulders on the beach.
Right, and then...
How many of our listeners know who Christy McAuliffe even is?
Yeah, she died in the Challenger.
She was the teacher, yeah, that was on board. She was the civilian.
Exactly. And you had those kind of jokes in order to deal with those terrible situations. And when it comes to bullying, you had jokes and humor in order to deal with the, you know, this possible threat of violence. And... my dad even once said to me, he goes, leave them laughing or they'll leave you bloody.
Well, and you know, like I said, maybe I can't speak for girls on this, but guys, that Fight Club adage really is true, Scott. Sometimes getting into a physical altercation can bring guys closer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know.
And no, girls are a whole different kind of evil.
Because it's like sometimes you can hate this guy. And you two are fucking beating the crap out of each other. And then after that, you're friends and you're playing D&D together. That's happened to me. Yeah. Sometimes you need a punch in the mouth to kind of set boundaries.
It's the physical
it's
reset
a weird,
button.
It's a weird thing with guys, man. It is.
Yeah, and like I said, girls are a whole different kind of evil. We'll have to have my wife on to talk about girls because she...
I heard her upstairs before. She said Mean Girls was not exaggerated.
Yeah, she said that Tina Fey I've just pulled it right mean out. Girls, you've never seen Mean Girls? It's actually a pretty good movie.
No, I haven't.
It's actually pretty good. It's worth seeing. And I'm not even kidding. It's pretty damned entertaining.
Lindsay Lohan?
Yes.
Disney?
Yes.
Fair
enough.
Believe
it or not, before she lost her shit, Lindsay Lohan had a bright future in acting.
I'll have to trust you on that.
Yeah. I mean, Parent Trap wasn't all that great, but...
The original wasn't either.
Well, the original... Yeah, I know. But it was... That's what I'm saying.
Was she in Freaky Friday with...
No.
Which one am I thinking of that was with...
Or wait a minute. Maybe it was her. I don't know.
Because it was Jamie Lee Curtis as the mom.
Right.
I thought it was Lindsay Lohan as the daughter, but I might... I don't know. Maybe...
I think there was another one. But anyway, Mean Girls is actually worth seeing. And it's, from what I understand, completely true.
Well, now, in the last couple of minutes, what about how the sexualization of teens, two teens, I'm not talking about in culture or pedophilia or anything, but how that has changed. Look at how even, I mean, you're going out with a girl, you can't even hold their hand, or it's sexual harassment. And it's not whether she presses charges. Schools have such stringent sexual guidelines, and they keep using the term sexual when it even comes down to holding hands, kissing, or even, you know, it would, our era would have been passing notes, but now, you know, sexy texting. Texts yeah. and stuff yeah. like that. You are trying to make a nation of eunuchs, or they're just going to take all that repressed sexuality and they're going to go get pregnant behind the bleachers after school.
Yeah, and that's a huge part of it. It's a very weird mixed message, because on the one hand, we kind of have schools realizing that good sexual education works and prevents teen pregnancy and prevents the spread of disease.
Exactly.
And so they some schools out there, you know, religious schools, of course, notwithstanding, but some schools out there, and especially public schools, actually have decent little sex ed deals where they get down to the nitty gritty and tell them the truth and teach you how to wrap your willy and everything like that. We had, when it came to sex ed in middle school and high school for us, we had, it would start out with the girls going to one room so that they could learn about their monthly bleeding, and the boys would stay in one room so that they would learn about how
the morning erection,
and the nocturnal emission, and
when you wake up and your underwear is all sticky, don't worry, that's normal.
Yeah, it's okay.
The only thing you should be lamenting is that you missed it.
Yeah. And I gotta admit, when you're 9, shit can be terrifying.
Especially if you haven't been told about it prior to this.
Exactly.
Why am I covered in white sticky goo?
Exactly. But you had that deal. And then finally in high school, they got their brain together, and we finally had a science teacher just go, ask me anything in front of in front of God and everybody, ask me anything you want. And I believe the first question was, they looked up at Mrs. Bowen and said, do you like anal sex? And what's the whole deal with that? And she went, yeah, it can be very pleasurable. And
if
went
it's done
in,
right.
Yeah. Went into the physics of why anal sex is pleasurable and how to do it correctly.
See, there was one I remember where, in our sex ed class, you got to remember, you know, we were kids in the era of AIDS, and I know we only got a minute left, but the very controversial how the teacher taught about AIDS. He gave everybody a little card that was like a blue card, and one person had a red card, and if that person came up to you and touched you, you had to change your card to a blue or to a red card. And by the time he went around the entire class, everyone had a red card. And he was like, that's how AIDS spreads. And parents flipped the fuck out over that. Mm-hmm. So basically, you just figuratively gave my kid AIDS to show how AIDS spreads. How dare you? And it's like, actually, as an adult looking back at it, I go, that's actually really effective and kind of responsible.
Yeah.
I don't understand why that was so controversial.
We had a very, very... our school sex ed, and again, I went to a weird high school, but our school sex ed was extremely progressive. Of course, if anybody is familiar with IU, you've got the Kinsey Institute down there. Well, we went to Ball State University. We were tied in with that university system, and yeah, I've been through it all.
We got to wrap up, though.
But nonetheless, so that's some of the deals with elementary school, and I'm sorry
you got a little serious in the second half.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you couldn't really participate in the first half.
Did you want me to lie?
No, but nonetheless, thanks a lot for joining us, everybody. We will see you guys, excuse me, next time.
Next time.
Lost in the Static is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.